I guess it's too late to say Happy New Year now because it's already February. I don't even know where January has gone, but I just want to talk about the things that God has laid on my heart about how to approach this year of 2019. I've never been one for New Year's resolutions, mainly because when I was younger, when I was about 10, 11, when I just started learning about New Year's resolutions, I never used to make any because I thought it was uncool. So when my friends used to say, "Do you have any New Year's resolutions?" I thought it was nice to say, "Nah, I don't do such things." And then later on in life, I never had any New Year's resolutions because I thought, what's the point of a New Year's resolution? If you want to start, you can start at any point and instead of waiting for 1st of January. But I've started to think of New Year's resolutions, goals, or whatever you want to call it, different. You know, it's just seeing as 1st of January as a new start, wiping some slates clean and then going ahead. And the title of what I want to talk about is Weapon. The subtitle is Draw, Aim, and Release. And the maxim, Draw, Aim, and Release, came because I was looking at archery, I was looking at bows and arrows, and this is something, a statement that they say to beginners or even people who know what they are doing in archery, that just remember to draw, aim, and release. And I'll go into what it means as we continue. And the verses we are going to be mainly in are from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Corinth is a church that Paul had established. And it was it was in a very wealthy place. But unfortunately, there was a lot of corruption in the church. And if you could listen to 3 weeks ago, Clive talked about Corinth, and he laid very good groundwork of what Corinth was like, and he introduced me to a phrase called to Corinthianize someone, which meant to corrupt someone completely. So this church was very corrupt, and Paul wrote some letters to them. So we are going to read from 2 Corinthians, but actually this isn't the second letter he wrote to them, it's the third letter he wrote to them, but we've lost the first one. And the first letter was really harsh. These are Paul's own words. The first letter that he wrote to the Corinthians was harsh, and it brought sorrow to them. And because he was trying to tell them that, come on, stop being so corrupt. You're Christians now, act like it. And we are going to read from 2 Corinthians 10, as I said. And from verse 1, it says, "By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." Now, in archery, when you're drawing, the first bit to draw means to take a stance. I can't just stand like this and think that I'll use a bow and arrow and it will reach its mark. You have to take a certain stance, and then you draw your bow and your arrow, and, you know, you have to stand in a proper way. Because if you draw and you take a proper stance, you'll be able to launch your weapon properly. So the drawing is very, very, it's the foundation of being able to launch your weapon. But it's not just in archery. If you think, if I were going to throw a spear, I have to stand in a certain way and draw back and throw my spear. Or if I were going to throw a punch at someone, I have to throw the punch properly. Or if I were going to do some kickboxing, I have to stand properly and then kick someone. Jackie, you don't have to look so worried. I'm not going to demonstrate my kickboxing skills later on, not in public. But and Paul was a man who was very well educated, as he called himself. He called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. And even more so, Jesus Christ himself had appeared to Paul when he was on the road to Damascus, and he had planted loads of churches. So when he was talking to these people, he could have started by saying, I, very well educated Paul, who Jesus appeared to himself, who has planted lots of churches, I stand on that and I tell you. But actually, he stood on the humility and gentleness of Christ. He stood in Christ. His stance was, I am in Christ. That was his foundation. And he wrote to the Ephesians and he said that, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He was saying, I'm going to stand in Christ. This is where my stance will be. But if we go back, he says, I, Paul, who am timid, went face to face with you, but bold toward you when I'm away. There were some false prophets who had come into Corinth, and they were like, you know, Paul writes these letters to you, these harsh letters to you, but Paul himself is timid. He's nothing. And so he could have taken their labels and said, oh, I, timid Paul. But he was like, I couldn't care less about these labels, because he knew who he was. And just as I say, drawing, if you're drawing a weapon, you have to take a proper stance, because it's the foundation. Paul's stance here was, I am in Christ. Aim, I hope aim is obvious. You have to aim for something. You have to aim for a bullseye. And in verse 4, he says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. He was trying to say that, you know what, our aim is to demolish arguments and the pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. But he also first told them what kind of weapons they have. He said, the weapons you have are divine, have divine power to demolish strongholds. You see, if you want to bring down a house, if you think you just have a hammer, you won't bother because you think, oh, I just have a hammer. But if you know you have a bulldozer, you'll have the confidence to try and knock down the house. So he was just telling them that, hang on, guys, the weapons that you have divine power to demolish strongholds. And in verse 7, he says, you are judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. I said Corinth was a very prosperous town, so it was full of really elegant people who walked around with a huge entourage, and people had an expectation of how they are supposed to look. And most Bible commentaries I've read, they seem to think that, you know, Paul wasn't that much of anything, because he used to walk everywhere. So he probably was really skinny. He walked miles and miles to preach the gospel. He probably had scars from all the lashes he had received, and he was probably malnutrition because he was in prison so many times. And you know, if these guys in Corinth were so used to elegant people, they'd look at Paul and think, who is this person? He writes to us the letters, but then when they'd look at him in person, he wasn't impressive. And he was saying that, do not judge by appearances. If I just fast forward quickly, he says, He had written to them earlier in 2 Corinthians 5 that, so we make it our goal to please him, him being God, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. And John in 1 John 3:8, he had written, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And yeah, he was saying there that you stop judging by appearances. And thing with an arrow, if we imagine there's this perfect archer who every time he draws his arrow, his bow and arrow, it hits the bullseye all the time. The only reason why it might not hit the bullseye is if there's some kind of wind that moves the arrow and stops it from hitting the bullseye. Now, he was saying that he has stopped being distracted by some things that don't matter. And previously he had written that we take captive every thought and make it obey Christ. You know, and saying that they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. So when you're going towards our aim, fortunately or unfortunately, God wants us to do it in a group setting. So as my brother or my sister in Christ, the only thought that I have towards you is that you belong to Christ as much as I do. So if any other thought comes in, I want to, you know, they call it the spirit of slap sometimes, comes on you, you have to take that thought captive and try and remember the aim so that we don't get distracted and not hit the bullseye. I talked earlier about having goals and having aims, and unfortunately I'm the kind of person, if I don't hit my goals, if I don't hit what I want to do, I get very despondent, I get very hard on myself. But I've been learning lately that to trust the process more, that if you get the process right, the result will come. So for example, about 7 months ago at my workplace, there was a new starter. I'd never seen this man in my life. I'd never talked to him. I didn't even know his name. But as soon as he walked in, I knew that this was someone who goes to the gym a lot. I knew that this was someone who eats a very clean diet, and I knew that this was somebody who probably drinks a lot of protein shakes. Yes. I'd never seen him in my life, and sure enough, at lunchtime, he went and he got a bottle and he put in some protein shakes and he drank. And as I've got to know him, I know for lunch, almost every lunch, he has chicken and some kind of vegetables. How did I know? I just knew because of the way he looked as soon as he walked in. You have, on the other hand, I have a problem in that Mary keeps bringing me boxes of chocolates. And on top of that, she brings me chocolate brownies. And to make it worse, she has this horrible, horrible white chocolate cheesecake, which I absolutely hate. You know, I hate it, but she forces me down and she forces me to eat it, even though I don't want to eat it. It's really horrible. So as a result, a few weeks ago, I was trying on one of my favorite skirts and the zip wasn't going up too well. And it has to be Mary's fault because the rest of the time, all I do is eat broccoli and drink green tea. So it's all Mary's fault. But what I was trying to say about this first guy, his process of going to the gym, eating right, whatever, led to a result. And my process of enjoying my chocolate also leads to a result. But what's true in the physical is so much more true in the spiritual. And every Sunday people stand here and they say, read your word, get to know God, and those things, getting the process, the basic process of just sitting in God's presence, leads to the result of knowing him more and knowing what his aim is. And if we go to verse 10, it says, "For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you." If we go back to the archery analogy, if you've drawn your arrow properly, you have a correct stance, and you've taken your aim, you've done most of the work. When it comes to releasing, all you have to do is let the arrow go. There is no work needed. You just need to let the arrow go. And Paul here wrote, he kept referring to those people who were trying to put him down. He said, "These people say his speaking amounts to nothing." And that's because the people in Corinth were used to Greek orators, were trained speakers. They would stand in the marketplace and they would speak so well with, you know, they would be entertaining, and it seems Paul wasn't like that. But he said, "You know what, I'm not going to compare myself to those people. I'm going to stay in my lane." He said, "We will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us." He said, "I will stay and do what I know God has called me to do. I'm not going to try and be the wonderful speaker that those people want." And he wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, "To make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you." And when he says, "You should mind your own business," he's not saying it in the rude way that sometimes people say. He was just saying, mind your own business. Mind what God has given you. And I love watching athletics, and I love the relay race. And in the relay, so many people are disqualified if someone just steps, even just the little spikes that they have, if they step out of their lane, they are disqualified. And there's this phrase, I don't know if you've ever heard it, it says, "Stay in your lane." And he was saying, basically, there, just stay in your lane, because that's where the power of God for the work that he has for you is. And the final verses, he says, "We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did not get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." He's still saying, basically, just take your stance in the Lord and seek your approval from him. And I just want to share with you why those things of draw, release, aim have such relevance to me. 2016 started off really well, and then it took a bit of a nosedive. And then 2017 was a year that took a nosedive, and 2018 was another year, and it took a nosedive. And you know, you keep hearing at the beginning of each year, you hear preachers like, "This is the year of whatever." And you're like, "Oh, that last year wasn't like that." And then the beginning of another year, "This is the year of whatever." And you're like, "Oh, last year wasn't like that." So even I had a not very good in the natural good 2.5 years, but I don't want, I will say this, for sure, God's mercy and goodness has followed me every single day, even though I haven't had the best 2.5 years. And you hear people say, if you're aiming for the things that God wants you to, you hear people say, oh, I'm under attack, you know, the devil's attacking us, which I understand what that means, but I've started to think about it differently. If you're going after what God has called you to do, as he said, our aim is to destroy the devil's work. You're busy destroying the devil's work. You're the one who is on the attack. Of course, your enemy will defend himself. The only difference is he's got arrows. You've got a bazooka. And for those who don't know what a bazooka is something that launches rockets. Okay? This reminds me, there's a movie I loved as a kid. It's called Commando. It's with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So basically, Arnold was a Marine, and he had his daughter kidnapped. And this whole movie is about him trying to get back his daughter. And he enlists the help of a flight attendant. And one day some people have taken Arnold away, and they're transporting him in a truck. And so this flight attendant comes, and she has a bazooka, and she shoots. And unfortunately, the first time she shoots behind, and there's a building that goes on fire. And then she turns around the bazooka, and she hits the truck, and the truck comes out, and in this puff of smoke, Arnold comes out, and he looks at the flight attendant. He's surprised because she's just a flight attendant. And he asks her, how did you know how to do this? And she says, I read the instructions. You know, and it's just like us, where earlier in verse 4, Paul said, the weapons we have divine power to demolish strongholds. But we have to read the instructions that God gives us so that we can know what those weapons are. And I said earlier that, yes, the devil comes with arrows, and we have a bazooka. And I just love what Barbara said here, that you will stand fast against the arrows. But I'm not trying to diminish the damage that arrows can cause. Because if I have a bazooka and I'm firing a bazooka, all you have to do to make me stop is fire in this muscle, you know? And so it will be too painful for me to continue holding my bazooka and firing at you. Or you just have to fire at my legs. And, you know, those arrows, even though I have a much bigger weapon than you, if those arrows get to the right place, they will stop me from firing my greater weapon. And I don't know if you've watched movies whereby these westerns where people come out and they fire arrows at them, and then they pull the arrow out and they continue fighting. At this point, some of you are thinking, oh, this woman watches his movies. Yes, that's not strictly true. Sometimes I have to get up to make a cup of tea. So, but that these movies, it's not right. If an arrow hits you, you should not just pull it out. You're supposed to leave it, because if you pull it out, arrows usually have arrowheads. They have barbed things. So if you just pull it out, you might catch some veins. You might cause worse bleeding. Or even worse, you might just break off the tip, and the arrowhead will stay in there, and it will just continue causing infection in the blood. So what you have to do with an arrowhead is you just have to leave it and wait for someone who knows what they're doing to extract it. So, as saying, I haven't had a good 2.5 years. Some arrows from the enemy have hit really deeply. And I know that there are some people here with wounds from arrow with from problems that the enemy has caused. And I wish I had something profound to say about that. But all I know is how to just lay before God and cry from the pains, from the arrow, and just cry and let him remove any arrows that have come in. The final picture I want to show is this lion. Because it's at rest, I love this picture and I have it on my phone. I love this picture because most of the times when we see pictures of lions, we see lions that are strong, they're roaring, you know. We don't usually see lions like that. Even though it's, I don't know why it's resting, I don't know if it's just tired or maybe it's wounded, I have no clue. This lion is resting, it doesn't mean it's any less of a lion. It's still a lion, still got all its strength, even though it's at rest. So, going back to what I was saying, I found myself not too excited about what 2019 is going to bring. And I knew that, you know what, that was because I had an underlying dread of it. And I had no expectations. And God challenged me to raise my expectations for this year. So I'm pretty sure that 2019 cannot be worse than the last 2.5 years I've had. But even if it is, my resolve is to take my stance in the love of God and draw from that, to aim for whatever he has, and to let him release me in anything he wants, all the while resting in him, because that's where our power comes from. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you so much because we are here. Lord, we say we just want to do what you want us to do. We want to walk in your ways. We want to walk in your will. And we just say, here we are, Lord. Release us in everything you want us to do. And Lord, any arrows from the enemy that have found their mark, that have embedded deep, Father, we ask that you may extract those arrows, that you may heal us, Jesus, so that we may be strong in your work. Amen.